Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 11. And if you're following along in your Bibles, which are in the pews in front of you, you will find this on page 859. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 6. We read these words. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Great words. We have a great God who gave us these words. Look forward to hearing what he has to say to us this morning.
Thank you, Sylvia, for that beautiful song. There's so much to be thankful for. And you know what? Let's take a moment and do that. I wonder if there's anyone here today that would just have a word of testimony. You'd like to thank the Lord for something today. I'm going to ask you to stand up and give a word of testimony. Anyone? Oh, yes, Helen. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Helen. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
I'd like to thank the Lord for blowing the wind away from our house when I started the fire.
Well, we're grateful for that, too. God bless you.
I'm thankful that I have two new grandsons, and both of them were born premature, but they're very good.
Wonderful. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Jamie.
Right after I had my doctor's bypass, I was saying that I was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver. It's kind of a diagnosis of another night that she passed away from.
Amen.
So I just thank him for that. And I also thank him for his healing touch last night. Yesterday throughout the day, I had such pain through my hip and leg.
Thank you. Thank you. You see, folks, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. He is working, and he is moving in the hearts and the minds of people. Thank you very much, all of you who shared. And I'm sure that there are others who would like to. I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, to please open up once again to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to speak to you today on the subject of making the flea flee. And you'll have to pay attention to the spelling of the words. Okay? We far too often have too big of a devil and too small of a God. And we too often are overcome by what the enemy of our souls wants to throw at us. And we give him far more credit than he really deserves. The book of James, you might notice in your bulletin, the book of James, chapter 5, I believe it's the 7th verse, tells us, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He'll run. He'll get out of there. He'll leave it alone. and because he cannot take a believer in Christ resisting his onslaught. He can't take that. As I was working on this message, I was thinking about the idea of fleas and what is their purpose. And I have to admit to you, I am stymied. I have not been able to figure out a purpose for fleas yet. Perhaps some of you who are far more brilliant will let me know. But I came up with fleas do two things. They make you itch, and they spread disease. And that's about all that I can come up with for the purpose of fleas. And as I began to consider that, I thought, you know, that's exactly what Satan does. Satan makes us itch to do something that we know is not right. It's called temptation. And then all he does is spread disease, spiritual disease in our lives. So, as we consider that, fleas only make you itch and spread disease, we want to look at God's solution, or how to make the flea, Satan, flee, get out of here. All right? And this particular passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, I want to share with you these six things that can help as you make the flea flee. We're going to look at, first of all, be humble. Secondly, be peaceful. Third, be aware. Fourth, be aggressive. Fifth, be assured. And then sixth, be praising. And so let's look at these particular things. Notice, first of all, be humble. Look at the sixth verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Humble yourselves. Whenever an individual gets arrogant, they're ready for a fall. Arrogance comes in many different ways. Arrogance comes in a feeling of superiority as individuals, races, classes, that type of thing. Whenever a group begins to feel we are superior, we are more than everybody else, there are issues that they're going to be faced. There are some times when people come across with spiritual arrogance. I know more than you. I'm smarter than you. I have a greater sense of God than you. I am untouchable. You see, that kind of a spirit lends itself to a tremendous crash spiritually. And so we have to guard that we don't fall into that spiritually superior mindset. And Peter here says, look, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. In other words, be submissive to God. Be submissive to God's will. Be submissive to God's direction in your life. Acknowledge the fact that He is the one who has blessed you with any spiritual blessing that you might have. And so keep yourself humble. As soon as you get an arrogant spirit, you're headed for problems. The Word of God tells us that pride comes before what? A fall. Pride comes before a spiritual crash. And so if we humble ourselves before God, we don't have to worry about that fall, about that crash. So we are to be humble. Secondly, notice that he says in the seventh verse, basically, to be peaceful. He says this, casting all of your anxiety, all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. Cast all of your anxieties on Him. What is it that makes you anxious, that makes you nervous, that makes you scared, that makes you just frustrated with life? Cast that upon the Lord. When we are caught in the grips of anxiety, we're not at peace. We are struggling in every area of our life, and sleep evades us, and so we're not really able to be restful in our daily life nor in our nighttime life. And so if we are going to be at peace, we need to cast all of our anxiety on God. Let Him take absolute control of every area of our life. You know, I'm going to use Mina as an example here. We love Mina. I mean, she is such a joy and such a delight. But I am sure that in that 6 weeks, 8 weeks before she came, she was probably filled with anxiety. After all, she had seen Jake's picture. Right? Yeah. but, you know, she was going far away from home, away from family, away from what is familiar. And I'm convinced in my heart that there was anxiety inside of her, nervousness. And then, you know what? She came and met you folks. And in coming and meeting you folks, she feels peaceful. Coming and meeting her American mother, she has become peaceful and comforted. And you see, that's what God wants for us. We can take all of our cares, all of our concerns, all of our anxieties, and give them to Him. And He replaces that with the peace that passes our understanding. What do you struggle with? Give it over to God and let Him have complete control of it. Be peaceful. At peace in your soul and at peace in your mind. The third thing is this. We need to be aware. If we're going to make the flea flee, we're going to need to be aware. Look at verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Satan has little man syndrome. You know what little man syndrome is? How many here know what little man syndrome is? Little man syndrome is a little guy who thinks that he's tougher than everybody else and can beat up anybody else. And that's what Satan has. When in reality, he's a flea. There isn't anything that he can do to you or me to steal us away from God. There isn't anything. What do? We make him huge. He goes around like he's a lion, but he's already defeated. He goes around like he's like he is king of the jungle. When he's really the village idiot. You see, we don't have to submit to the village idiot. We need to be alert. We need to be aware that he is going to do everything he can to disrupt and to make our lives miserable. But we need to be remembering that he is already defeated. You see, the defeat happened like this. He thought he had won. Jesus was dead. He thought he was on top of the world. God, I really put the hurt on you. That's your boy laying in that tomb. And so from his throne room in hell, laughter was his response. I got him beat. When suddenly the doors burst open and there stood Christ, who said, give him here. Give him here. And there was a wrestling match that took place where Jesus victoriously took away the keys of death and hell. And then through the power of God, he burst forth from the tomb and won our freedom. He is a flea. Don't make him bigger than he is. Be aware. I remember back in the, it must have been in the mid-80s, we were pastoring down at Mount Olive at the time. And we had this big, beautiful yard that was there. And there was a problem with it one of the summers that we were there. And it wasn't just our yard, but it was every yard for miles around. There was a flea epidemic. I don't know what you want to call it. But, you know, every time you walked out in the yard, you would have fleas on your legs. And I mean, they were just absolutely everywhere. There wasn't anywhere you could go in that part of the state of Pennsylvania. You know, so it had nothing to do with people being dirty or anything like that. I mean, it was just an infestation. And I don't know if it happened up here or not, but it happened down in that area. And you just could not walk anywhere. But you know what? I wasn't stupid enough when I felt a flea get on me. I wasn't stupid enough to go, well, look at that. There's a flea. Wonder how many times he'll bite me. I wasn't that stupid. I know you might question that, but I was not that stupid. Do you know what I would do? I would brush him off. And there wasn't one of those fleas who could overcome my ability to brush them off. Folks, Satan is like those fleas. He does not have the power to overcome us when we stand up against him. He's a flea. Now notice how Paul talks about, how Peter talks about that in this next verse where you know, we need to be aware. I was aware when a flea would get on me. All right? I was aware of that flea being on me, and so I would get aggressive, and that's the next thing we want to look at. We want to be aggressive. Look at verse 9. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. You're not in this alone. I mentioned that, you know, when we would go outside in that infestation It didn't matter how tall you were. It didn't matter what color your skin was. It didn't matter how old or how young you were. To them, you were fair game. And when you walked out, just going from the house to the car, you would have these fleas that would do everything they could to disrupt your life. And I hated that. So I'd brush them off. You see, our brothers and sisters throughout the world are going through the terrible trials that are brought about by the giant flea, Satan himself. We need to flick them off. Remember James chapter 5? Resist the devil and he will flee. He will run. He will get out of there. Don't entertain him. If he knocks on your door, you don't have to invite him to dinner. All right? Don't entertain him. Resist him and he'll leave. Now, resistance is aggressiveness against Satan. So we must be aggressive when he tries, whatever he tries, to entrap us. Whatever bite he tries to put on, we need to resist. Now notice number five. I want you to be assured. Look at verse 10. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That little bite from that little flea is going to itch for a minute, but there's hope. There is strength. God will perfect you. He will confirm his relationship with you to your heart. He will strengthen you, and then he will establish you. He will help you to walk in faithfulness and in truthfulness with God and be blessed in your life. Be assured, God does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God is not afraid. And when he is in absolute control of your life, when you have released everything over to him, he will make you what he wants you to be. So what should be our response? We should be praising. Number 6, look at verse 11. To him, Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to him be dominion forever and ever. Let it be. So be it. Amen. Because that's what amen means. So be it. To him be all power, glory, dominion, forever and forever and forever. You want to make the flea flee? Resist him. Realize he is defeated, totally defeated. The only way that he can entrap you is to lie to you. Because he's a father of lies. Jesus himself stated it. And he does not know the truth. So he lies to you, telling you that you don't have the authority over him, when in reality, he's simply a flea. How you doing? Are you overcoming Satan daily in your walk? Or are you letting him have more authority than what you ought to? If you're letting him have authority, quit it. Resist him, and he'll flee. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you to join me in singing number 430. We sang the first verse a little bit ago, but we're going to sing the first, second, and third verse. That's all three of them for Andrew. All right? Number 430. And I'll tell you, if you're here today and you're not living victoriously like you know you should, then the altar's the place for you today. Why don't you come? Get re-energized. Get refueled. Get restored and renewed, so that you'll have power to overcome through resisting the traps of Satan. So as we sing number 430, if God is speaking to you, you step out and come. Amen. God is special. It's been wonderful to meet together with you today and to worship together. We trust that you're able to leave the service encouraged and ready to do whatever God wishes for you to do. A couple of things real quickly, and then we'll ask Sylvia to come and lead us in a benediction song. Pastor Parish Relations Committee, again, I want to remind you, we need to have a meeting immediately following the service in the library. Very quick, very brief. The other thing is this. They are going to be needing some help immediately following the service, loading some boxes called shoe boxes in the back of a truck. They're fairly large boxes. They're not very heavy. They're very light. But they have 35 or 40 of them they need to put in the backs of trucks. So they could use some help doing that. So if you would like to go over and give them a hand, take 4 or 5 minutes, I'm sure that they would be pleased with your help, and you would be blessed by reaching out and helping. So I just remind you of that. Immediately following the service, we want to go over to the fellowship hall and help them with loading those boxes. That'll be a great help. Let's close our service at this time with a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the fact that you have overcome our enemy. You have defeated him. And that he has no authority in our lives. Now, Lord, help us to be absolutely confirmed in our hearts and our minds that Satan has no authority in us. Help us to resist him so that we can put him on the run. And, Lord, we'll certainly thank you for that. Now, please, watch over every one of these folks as they go through their day today. Lord, bless them, encourage them, fill them with all hope and with all grace. And, Lord, we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise, for it's in your awesome and holy name that we pray. Amen.